So a sick man went to the doctor's office one day with his wife. And the doctor examined the man and ran some tests while his wife waited in the waiting room. When the doctor emerged, the wife immediately asked, "Doctor, will my husband be okay?" "I'm afraid your husband is very ill," he replied. "He has a rare form of anemia, and if left untreated, he will most likely die from it. However," he said, "there is a cure." "What is it?" the wife asked. "Well, with rest and nutrition, the disease will go into remission, and your husband should live many more years. Here's what you have to do, though. Take your husband home and treat him like a king. Fix him 3 home-cooked meals a day, and wait on him, hand and foot. Bring him breakfast in bed. Don't let him do anything that you can do for him. If he needs something, you take care of it. Oh, and one more thing. Because his immune system is so weak, you'll need to keep your home spotless. Any questions?" The wife had none. "Do you want to break the news to your husband, or shall I?" the doctor asked. "Oh, please, doctor, let me break it to him." So she walked into the examination room, and the husband, sensing that something was very wrong, said, "It's bad, isn't it? What have I got?" His wife answered with a tear in her eye, "The doctor said you're going to die." Now, this story makes us smile, but hopefully not too much, because, you know, actually, that's what we're like. We believe in self-giving, Christ-like love, but we don't actually like the sacrifice that goes along with it. Now, in the first reading in Gospel today, we're confronted with the reality that righteous men who are fulfilling the will of God, Jeremiah and our Lord, are disliked and opposed by their contemporaries. The prophet Jeremiah was called to serve our Lord as his prophet at an early age, most likely actually when he was about a teenager. And at his calling, our Lord warns Jeremiah that he would be strongly opposed by those to whom he would preach. In today's reading, taken from the very beginning of Jeremiah's ministry, our Lord explains that Jeremiah had been created for this very purpose, to serve God as a prophet. He tells Jeremiah, as he prepares for his ministry, to gird his loins. In other words, he must be prepared to suffer when preaching on behalf of the Almighty. Now, little did Jeremiah know at the time how much rejection he would face for being faithful to our Lord. He'd be betrayed by those closest to him, condemned to death, and thrown into a pit left to die, to name only a few. Yet, even though he would have to suffer greatly for our Lord, in today's reading, God tells him that he would be with him. "They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you." Now, during his lifetime, Jeremiah was actually considered a total failure. But in later times, he's been recognized as one of Israel's greatest prophets. You see, Jeremiah is a wonderful example of the triumph of failure. Jeremiah today is viewed to be a type or a foreshadowing of Christ himself. For both of them would endure great suffering on behalf of preaching the truth. For in the gospel today, our Lord encounters opposition as well. And the passage picks up seamlessly, if you remember, from last week's. And in it, we find our Lord encountering the hostile reaction from his own hometown folk, much like Jeremiah did long ago. Now, what ticks the people off so much against our Lord in today's passage is the fact that he cites examples from the Old Testament where the prophets ministered not simply to the Israelite people, but to the non-Jewish Gentiles as well. the woman of Zarephath, and the Syrian named Naaman. Now remember, the Jewish people in Christ's day saw their covenant with God to be exclusive. No one else was to be a part of it. You see, they had forgotten that God had chosen Abraham, the father of the Hebrew people, so that Abraham and his descendants would bring blessing to all the families of the earth. They had forgotten that the great prophets had foreseen salvation for all the Gentiles, as well as the Jewish people. Consequently, the very people with whom our Lord had grown up now wanted to throw him off a hill, their anger having consumed them. Just like Jeremiah in the first reading, our Lord had to endure great suffering and rejection for the sake of the truth. Now, as Christians, we have been given the greatest treasure on earth. We know the meaning of life, to be with God forever in heaven, and we know how to achieve it. Yet, God has sent us into this world not just to survive it, but to transform it. Therefore, if we aren't eager to share this knowledge with others, well, then something is seriously wrong. It could be that we just haven't let this knowledge sink into our own lives, right? Perhaps we don't believe we know our faith that well. Or perhaps, like Jeremiah, we don't necessarily feel qualified to preach our faith in our everyday lives. On the other hand, it could be that we're afraid of what people will think of us if we bring up the faith over a cup of coffee or a beer, or if we invite a friend or neighbor to come to Mass. Now, on the one hand, that fear, I think, is natural, but it also comes from vanity and pride. We could easily be thought to be different, or we could feel like we would be rejected. Yet our faith teaches that service of and witness to the faith is necessary for salvation. Each time we come to Mass, we say through our actions that we love our Lord. Yet, I think so often, like the wife in the story I told at the beginning of the homily, we can be lazy in our love. True love requires sacrifice. As we've seen in the readings today, our Lord calls those whom he created to be courageous, to overcome laziness and vanity with love. Jeremiah underwent much uncomfortableness for having to preach the truth of our Lord, even to the point of being thrown into a pit as punishment, left to die. Christ was threatened with being thrown off a hilltop, and as we know, of course, was eventually put to death. Now, in comparison, for us, the sort of rejection we would face if we asked someone to come to Mass or book study or Bible study would hopefully not be to be thrown into a pit, but would simply be, "I'm too busy." Yet, nonetheless, we are afraid of rejection. However, we're still called to bring others to the faith, to bring others to the truth, to experience the beauty of the Catholic Church. We need to follow Christ, not political correctness, and to speak the truth of Christ in love, without being hypocritical or disrespectful. Right? We must never remain silent in the face of evil for fear of being thought politically incorrect. Christ taught us to love and respect others without condoning or encouraging sinful behavior. We need to be kind, charitable, honest, forgiving, but clear in speaking out our Christian convictions as our Lord was when he spoke in the synagogue at Nazareth. How often we can be so used to seeing only those who come to Mass each week that we forget that evangelical zeal we should have in regards to bringing people to Christ and his church. We as Catholics must regain a zeal for souls. For only in the Catholic Church is the fullness of truth found. and the fullness of the graces of the sacraments able to be received, since she is the historical church that Christ established. Now, we aren't necessarily called to travel across the country preaching on streets to get people to come to church, though. We're simply called to be faithful witnesses. And fidelity doesn't mean perfection. A simple invitation to Mass can go a very long way. Further, I mean, if we don't feel adequate to talk about our faith, well, be the change you want to be in the world. You should learn about it. There are so many books available for us to learn or relearn our faith. We have all the means accessible to us in our modern day to be very knowledgeable Catholics. I mean, let's break it. God created Google for a reason. Further, on top of having knowledge of the truth, we also need to be willing to suffer for that truth. If we invite someone to the faith, you know, at times we're going to be rejected. And that's okay. We're in good company with our Lord and Jeremiah during those times. Furthermore, like Jeremiah, our Lord is always there for us to encourage and strengthen us to be his witnesses. Nonetheless, our love for our Lord cannot be a lazy one just because of rejection either. We have to be willing to have sacrifice involved in it. You know, sometimes it's not always going to be easy to invite someone to Mass. Sometimes it's not going to be easy to speak up when a friend bashes the church because of X, Y, or Z. Sometimes we might not want to take the time to learn more about our faith. Yet that doesn't mean we shouldn't. If we love someone, we are willing to sacrifice for them. Think of the love of two spouses, of a parent for their child. They'd sacrifice anything for them because they love them. Our love for the Lord should likewise be self-sacrificial. And our Lord showed us what it means to be self-sacrificial par excellence. Therefore, we strive to imitate that love back to him through our daily actions. When was the last time we invited someone to learn more about our Catholic faith? When was the last time we invited someone to learn more about the Mass? And so we must ask ourselves, does our love for our Lord model his own love for us? Or are we in need of giving ourselves more to him in the task of spreading the gospel?